Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
Pokemon Underground Champions League, oh yeah.
Puckle!
Welcome to another exciting episode of the Puckle Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch, back from the dead. Along with some fellow co-hosts, we've got Dr. Shamu.
Hey, I'm halfway down into my own grave right now.
But... Yeah, it's fine. And we've got Seth Vilo.
I've dug my way back from the depths and left you two behind. There's only like 20% congestion left here.
And welcome to the Puckle Podcast. Puckle, of course, standing for the Pokemon Underground Champions League, a nonsensical name we came up with in 2007, where we talk everything Pokemon from the trading card game to the video game to everything in between. And boy, oh boy, am I excited to be here. I don't know. Like, I always find the week after, like, I have to ditch the podcast is the week I'm the most excited to be on the show. Like, I mean, there's definitely weeks where, like, I won't be on the show. And I really am upset, especially like last week. Last week, I ended up getting the virus TM and was unable to be on the show. And I'm much better now. I almost feel like 100%, honestly. I'm just like I'm still like doing like the, you know, go out and wear masks. So I haven't gone back to the gym yet fully. So I miss the gym. I'd like to go back to the gym. But other than that, like I'm feeling great. I'm back. I'm ready to go. And I'm excited to just talk some Pokemon because we actually like got a trailer this week for the first time in like a month. Yeah. And it was like an okay trailer, to be fair.
Yeah.
It was like, okay. It was like, meh. Okay. Thanks, I guess. It'll work out. It'll work, I think. It'll be a good time. So, I mean, obviously we'll talk about that today, but this week in Pokemon, I had not played the trading card game because my brain would not have let me. But I did do some like Ranbats this week. Not just before the show as you guys were watching as I was, as we prepared for the show, but I was doing some Ranbats this week and I was just having a good time getting back into that. And honestly, the week before that, I streamed VGC laddering, which was actually a lot of fun.
Ooh.
You know what's worse is like, I don't know. I feel like I have gotten significantly worse at competitive Pokemon, right? Mm-hmm. Over the years, like I've let that skill degrade. But like I jumped back into it and I did really, I like went 9-2 just like with a team that I had no idea what was going on. I have no idea what the meta is. And I like jumped in and I went 9-2. So like maybe I'm not like as bad as I thought I was.
A lot of it is kind of just like an instinct of just like, what are they going to do? What should I do? What should I prep for? It's like a lot of prediction in mind. Like just the order of operation of what they're going to do and how you play around that. It's a lot of that kind of innate after a moment, after a point, you know? You don't like...
I wouldn't say I'm at the point that I was. Like, I remember in Gen 7, like at the end of Gen 7.
Oh, yeah, there's a point where you're like, you know every single thing that's going to happen or like, it's going to be like this or this. And you know which one that you deduce it, just that team.
It used to be that I could go like 5 or 6 turns out. I cannot do 5 or 6 turns down anymore, but like... I can do well enough to like be slightly better than reactionary.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
To be fair, you have to kind of be reactionary in VGC anyway because of Terra. And it could you could just be anything, right? Like Terra changes everything and honestly makes it so it's a little bit more reactionary of a meta.
Yeah, because once you see Terra, then you gotta go, okay, let's revise all those plans I just had and then go forward. Yeah. Because once they select it, then it locks that in that factor that you, that variable you don't know.
It sets a state, and it's fine. I was doing okay, though. I had a good time, and I look forward to being able to try it again. Granted, I think next week when we get to stream on the Wednesday night again, I think I might be able to get DLC, and I might just play DLC instead. So,
oh,
yeah. I know. Yeah, it's exciting. That's exciting. Like the DLC has me very excited. I'm excited to see, like, I don't know if this will be the conclusion because I have a feeling like things are going to be locked from what I've heard in the leaks, but I do think we're going to get, you know, the majority, like the meat and potatoes will probably be there.
Yeah.
And I really want to just go dive into these meat and potatoes and just like devour this DLC.
Incineroar's back.
Oh. Incineroar is back. I don't know if that's good or bad. I guess it depends on who you ask.
Yeah.
The five Incineroar fans are very excited right now, so.
Yeah, and all the Sonic the Hedgehog fans.
Yeah, I'm not excited to see another mod that's part of the every team in VGC.
I don't know if it's going to be as bad this time around, but we'll see.
I think there's enough checks and stuff to it. It's just that no. I don't like seeing it as an option.
The only reason I'll disagree with you, Seth, is because I think Gen 9 is probably the first gen where there's actually been very significant power creep. Because, like I a very good example of this is just, like, looking at the tiers for singles in general, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like, a lot of OU staples that we would have called OU staples in Gen 8 are just not in OU. Like, they're just That's not fair. There.
Yeah.
And there's just been significant power creep. And even if you look at VGC, for instance, a lot of VGC staples are just not staples.
That's very true.
Now, I think you can make some arguments for Incineroar. Like the typing is pretty okay. The grit, but I know we're very involved in the TCG, but Iron Hands is more than a menace there. It's also a menace in VGC as well.
Oh, no, totally. That's my one thing. I'm like thinking that'll deal with it to a degree, but I'm just wondering.
I think that will definitely help with Incineroar. It absolutely will. Also, Covert Cloak exists.
Yeah.
Which no, did not exist.
Answers to it. I'm just
pre-Incineroar. I think there's a lot of answers that could happen to go around Incineroar.
Oh, that's totally. True. I'm not saying that will or won't happen. I just don't like the idea of the possibility of it just becoming there on every team again. Like, will it happen? Yeah. I don't know. Probably, maybe not. I don't know. But I just don't like that idea of.
I think initially it'll just rip Arcanine off a lot of teams.
For sure.
Yeah. It'll knock Arcanine off a lot of teams.
100%. And then you'll see people find answers.
I'm just excited for whatever else the DLC brings.
Yeah, it looks like a lot of things. And we'll talk about that today, though.
So. Exactly, yeah.
I'm a little mixed on it, to be honest. I don't know how, I was excited initially, but now I'm kind of like, I just don't care. I don't know. Like, I'm excited to a degree, but I'm also just like, okay. You know, I don't know. I'm just not as hyped as I was for some of the other DLCs.
I don't know. We're at the point though. I don't know. I feel like with my older age, I'm hype does not mean what it used to mean, right?
Yeah.
I'm excited, but I don't know that I'm at the point where I'm just like, oh man, I can't wait for this game. I can't wait for this game, and like that's what's consuming my brain every day anymore.
Yeah.
Fair.
Right. Like it's not what's consuming my brain, but like I am excited to play it. Like I want to go enjoy it. I want to go, especially the story. Like I really want some confirmation about what Terapagos is actually doing to release the release the Pokemon, or like where the Paradox Pokemon are coming from. I want some indication of what's going on there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think this story is actually intriguing, and it actually has my interest. So
I'm just excited to bully Kieran again, but we'll talk about that.
Yeah, later. We'll absolutely talk about that later. But yes. I don't know. Anything you guys want to bring up? Like, anything fun, interesting, exciting?
Well, Shamu and I are going to be fighting for our life.
That's true.
This time next week.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, well, me, you, Claude, and Tank will be in San Antonio.
Yeah,
should
yeah,
figure
yeah.
out what I'm playing. Original.
You probably should. I think I've just settled on Drago again.
That's
but
fair.
Like,
you should just play a pile of
Snorlax.
60 cards. Okay, don't play Snorlax and, like,
Snorlax.
Don't be that guy.
Stall! Like, stall in the TCG.
I feel like that's like the last. That's like the last deck in terms of decks that I think make me not want to play the game anymore. There's like Gardevoir and then Snorlax. You know what I
yeah.
mean?
Yeah. And it's gonna be so overteched for because it just won the other thing here. Recently.
I know.
Yeah, it won the last one that made top 8 at least to the one previous, and we've got Guard.
Everyone's gonna be mad at it.
That was well, no, it won yep. Guard by the time this is out.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, people are teching for it. I don't know. Like, the thing that I'd be afraid of are, like, Moon, Hands, and, like, Stall. Everything else is kind of, like, you're either playing that deck so you have an answer to it, or your deck is good enough to deal with, like, the other things, like, Zard and, like, Guard and all that. Like,
right.
I do love how diverse this meta is right now in TCG. Like, I'm such a big fan of how diverse it is.
I like its diversity. I do also hate that there's, like, two centralizing cards, I feel, though, being, like, you need an answer to Moon, you need an answer to Hand if you're playing, like, a deck that's weak to Hand. I don't know.
I don't think Moon is.
They're really good.
I don't think Moon is literally that worrisome.
I don't think it's a problem at all.
Well, here's the thing that has popped up are people that are teching Moon in, like Seth has teched in a couple decks.
What?
Like,
me?
Like, not a one me. Of Moon and some dark energy just to pop it off. And that's scary as hell.
Okay, so like Shamu, I know Seth's here, but I'll say it. Like, are we going to trust Seth's deck building skills? Like, I
believe that. That is very true.
I trust the decks I've been seeing do well in Japan, because I've been keeping them an eagle eye on all the deck lists that pop up there. That are like getting top 16.
Yeah, but there's a couple that have it teched in there.
The meta in Japan is slightly different, though. I do think.
Oh no, totally. But then if we go back to the last regional, Torg made top 8 with this random pile no one thought coming because he just threw in a Hand and a Moon and like another Palkia, like, and that just destroyed people.
Drop, I call it
Ice Rider, like, made top 3. God,
yeah,
that did too. Yeah, that
it's
was
that's
wild.
Awesome. Like,
that's
awesome.
The cool thing about it. Like,
I love
so
that.
Many
I love that.
Things can work.
I love that. So I love so much that Ice Rider made top 3. You know what? It deserves that. It took so long for it to need it to get that. So you know what?
Yeah.
Good for it.
Good for Ice Rider. I don't feel bad at all.
But I'm just saying the fact those cards that can. I'm a little paranoid, but.
I think you are being a little paranoid because.
And your deck, the thing that you're thinking of running, is naturally weaker to those things. So of course you're going to be a little more afraid of those than the average person because that's kind of a full stop to you if you don't have the right setup. So
but
it makes sense.
I don't think you can have an answer for every deck, first of all.
Exactly.
And then,
oh no, totally not. That's not
a lot of top deck runs literally just come down to what they get mashed up against in stress.
And that's
and
totally
stuff.
True too. You know, that's nothing. Like
Seth and I played almost the exact same 60 as a guy who got top 8 in Fort Wayne. And we at the same tournament, and Seth and I were both bummed. But then, like, I looked at the guy's tournament run, and Seth and I both hit like multiple Duraldons,
which is a bad matchup. And he didn't hit any. It was
and he hit zero. He hit zero.
It.
Yeah, no, that's literally the difference, right? It's just the matchups you have throughout the day. Like, what do you dodge?
Yep.
And I don't know that Moon is a high enough percentage dex to that I would personally worry about it.
No, I'm not saying like.
I'm not saying it's not present, but it's like...
Yeah.
I know. All I know is that I'm playing it because, number one, it helps me restrict what crazy stupid options I can do if I just limit them to one thing. And two, I traded a box for one. So I'm
going to... For one Moon.
Yeah.
Good for you.
But yeah, it's at the point of it. They're cards that just go... I can kind of just pop out of nowhere and I can just shake the game up on it. It's like... Like, just flip it upside down and go, oh, yeah, the thing that was, like, unKO-able, yeah, it's dead. Oh, that thing that was, like, oh, that 2 prize, you only had 1 prize, it's cool, that's dead, now I just win, because I got the Iron Hand out charged. It's the fact that they just...
It's literally Giratina. It's just Giratina.
It's Giratina, but it's less telegraph sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes.
You can drop it and gate to it, and then
of
there
course,
it is.
Of course.
I love it. I'm so excited. This is going to be a fun one, I think.
It'll be a good time. I like this meta shift that we've had. Like, I'm very excited that, one, there was no Doom and Gloom. Iron Hands has not, like, destroyed the meta. Shock.
No, it has not.
Wow.
No.
Wow. It's like they know how to make a balanced card game or something.
It's a threat, but it's like, literally they're just power creeping Lost Box. But even then Lost Box is just kind of also going, cool, I'll just use this as my own.
I mean, it's been over a year. Like, Lost Box, like, if it gets phased out, it's not the end of the world, right? Like,
no, totally. Exactly. I think it should be at some point. I think the only meta shift I'm upset about is the fact that Snorlax Stall is now in the spotlight to a degree.
Very much so.
It's the boogeyman in the closet.
I don't know. It's just that there's so many decks that there's no... I haven't seen a tournament where, like, you've had a deck that hit much more than 15% in usage in the recent past. So I think it makes it very hard to try to tech for anything or really actually try to meta deck.
Usually it's one deck every tournament that's like, there's one at like 18 and another one at like 12. If you look, there's like one deck that goes up, like.
It's just not enough that like the math makes sense for me to worry about it that much, right? Like if it happens, it happens.
Yeah, no, total. Yeah. I don't think, like, I'm not worried about Pure Moon. I'm more worried about the card that Moon EX exists in the format, because just for also, it just has an attack that can just KO anything, and then it takes, like, a bunch of recoil. Yeah. So, yeah, just for people who aren't aware of what it does. That's the main threat of it, and it still has another attack, but
its attack
just, like,
is your opponent's is knocked out. That's it.
Yeah, essentially, and that the fact that you get it charged up out of nowhere and then do that, it's just,
But I think I'm gonna stop us here.
We should move on. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we've got some news. Not all of the news are we gonna talk about, but we do have the news. So let's kick it on over to that. Let's cue that epic music.
Town Radio Tower. This just in.
Welcome to exciting news segment, maybe. First up, one of the most exciting things I've seen in a very long time for Pokemon was announced this week. The soundtracks for Sword and Shield, Pokemon Legends Arceus, and Scarlet and Violet are going to be released on Pokemon Day in Japan. They are CDs for that, which honestly, I haven't seen a CD in almost a decade now. To be fair, these are things that I would buy CDs for, so if we don't actually get a U.S. release date, I probably will import these. At least PLA.
Yeah.
At least PLA. Like, PLA's music really jives with me.
I like, well, Sword and Shield, Scarlet and Violet's got some really good, like, battle soundtracks.
Okay, to be fair, I think some of the music in Swish is actually pretty good as well. So,
Swish definitely has some good stuff. You can't forget the gym theme.
Yeah, so I think there are some good things in all of these albums. I might actually import these from Japan, though, if we don't get a release date.
Yeah, I don't blame you. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. The final Paldean Winds episode is going to release on the 13th of December as well. So watch out for that. Apparently, they're going to join together all three heroes and they're going to do a thing. I don't know what it is, but they're going to do it.
Good old Wednesday.
Yeah, a good old thing. And finally, if you've owned a Nintendo Switch, which I would assume a lot of people listening to this podcast do.
Right.
DLC-themed Switch icons are back. They've now added and revealed Pokemon like Diplin.
Poltergeist, Terapagos, and Ogerpon.
Yep.
And then also with Kieran and Carmine. And it's a rewave of Iono and Grusha, unless there's more that aren't shown there.
Yep.
All right, well, Seth, I'm going to kick it on over to you, because there's some cool, exciting Scarlet and Violet news that people can, can get.
You betcha. First of all, we've got some mystery gifts that are live right now.
Which are wild.
If you want a Darkrai, you can get that until the 21st of this month with the code New Moon is coming. Just type that in using the normal character restrictions that you would, and you get a Darkrai. And if that's not enough for you, there's a shiny Lucario available until January 3rd with the code Shiny Buddy. With the eye is like a one, you know, things like that. So you can grab two free Pokemon right now.
Sorry, my cat bit me on the arm. So he just like love bit me, like a love chomp.
Quick little time stamp.
We're going to, definitely get that ripped out. All right. So continue, Seth. I apologize for that interruption.
No worries. So in addition to those free Pokemon, we've got a couple of 5-star raids happening right now. They're running through the 21st of this month, and they are Dialga in Scarlet and Palkia in Violet.
So, yay.
And fun note on Dialga, if you're facing that, do remember, they Terra both of them into Dragon types. So normally you might think, oh, I'll just bring a Fairy type to this Dialga raid. Do you remember what Dialga's original type is?
Fire.
Yeah, part steel.
Dragon steel.
Don't do that.
No, the dragon, the Terra gets rid of it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's also one per save.
It's one per save. Just as per usual with the 7-star raids.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's not 7-star, though. It's a 5-star.
Oh, it's a 5-star? Yeah. That's not even that bad, then. I still love what they're doing with raids. Like, I can't believe they're knocking out of the park over a year in. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Are doing really well, and I'm
like, this is what I wanted from Sword and Shield's raids. Like, this is what 100% what I thought they should have been doing, and they've been doing it, and I hope they keep it up. So good on you, Game Freak. You're doing something
good on them. And there's one last bit of Scarlet Violet news. We've got a couple of big old outbreak events happening right now. They are Flabébé and Litwick. They're running through the 21st of this month. They have very boosted shiny odds. The odds are like 1 in 200. Yeah. So go
Which
for
isn't
it.
Bad, especially for an outbreak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So and that's exciting.
Yeah. Then once the DLC comes out on Thursday of this week, Milsuri will be added and in a new area. So you can start immediately farming those for the right flavor.
Sure.
I don't know. Sure. Yay.
Milsuri was one of I'm so surprised it took them so long to add Milsuri, because I feel like Alcremie was such a Pokemon, like such a mascot for Gen 8 that it took so long for them to bring that out. But oh well.
Yeah. I guess it's a mascot of 8, not 9.
Yeah. That's what I said, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But not 9. So they kept it out a long time.
They kept it out a long time for being a mascot of a generation recently.
Exactly.
If that makes sense. Yeah, yeah. All right.
You're not allowed it.
So, yeah, Shamu, get some Pokemon Go news.
Woo! Reminder, the Super Community Day rerun happens December 16th and 17th. And then the admin time, I don't even know what that is.
There's the Super Community Day.
That's the same way they do all the
community days. Yeah.
All the community days of the last year.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
That's going to be this weekend. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the Adam and Time event runs from the 11th to the 15th and features Kanto Pokemon. I guess if you need Ditto for research, somewhat helpful.
Yeah.
So
that's about it.
I think that's
it. All right. Well, we'll end on, we did this news like super fast. our next
the only
one
problem is the news is our topic. So, I mean,
yeah, that's true.
We do.
Well, we do have Puckle's Pokey prediction. So don't forget that.
That's
so,
fair.
Who do you think will be the strongest Paradox Pokemon amongst the Walking Wake and Iron Leaves trios?
Okay.
I think that's a good question.
I can't remember. Does water resist ice?
Yes. Water does resist ice, yeah.
Okay.
I think Walking Wake is going to be hard to topple. I honestly think Walking Wake will be hard to topple.
Walking Wake just by typing alone.
Yeah, yeah, Water Dragon is a very good type.
Let alone the fact that it's Sun support and is supported in Sun with all of its signature moves and garbage.
And not to mention, it's also like, I don't know, it's like the stats are really good. So like the stats for everything else are just going to have to knock them out of the park.
That said, if we get an Entei Fire Dragon.
That's what I'm thinking. Because you fairy neutral, ice resist, or ice neutral, not resist.
Like, throw rocks on it, neutral. Put it on a Sun team, just go to town.
Yeah, I could see that being decent depending on the stat line. Just the bulky,
that's what I'm worried
a big,
about.
Big bulky dragon.
If it's bulky, I think it depends on what the stats shake out to be for the Entei. I agree with that.
Slow, bulky Triceratops.
I think it's going to be slower because Wake is like middle, it's like 100 speed, right? Or 90 something speed. So it's like in that middle high.
Wake, I think
Raging Bolt.
Yeah, pretty good like that.
Bolt's going to be like probably insane, I assume. Or Bolt is either going to be the extreme or.
I think it's
going
to be bad.
Reverse.
I think it's going to be
I don't think it's
going to
be a good no. I think
it's going to be a Alolan Exeggutor.
Yeah,
I don't think it's
going
to be a good mod. I'm getting to the point of, it depends if it's either the extreme of speed because of Raikou or the very reverse and not.
Yeah.
And depending on what that is, we'll kind of shape what Entei looks like.
Exactly.
Because if it's very fast, that means Entei is probably slower, which means it's probably bulkier. If
we'll
not, then it might be a fast fire dragon.
It is kind of reversing the role, though. Just by look alone. Like, even Walking Wake became a really fast, really offensive thing when Suicune isn't. Raikou became what looks
Raikou
like
could be
a slow big
dragon.
Boy.
Yeah, it could be.
And so Entei kind of being the slightly middle ground between those two, it might still be just the same.
Yeah.
So what about the other trio? I want to move us on to that.
Oh, right.
I think, honestly, Iron Crown just has the better typing overall.
Could have looked
like Psychic Steel.
Yeah.
I think Psychic Steel is just a good type. And
if Psychic for all three of them,
it's bad. It's bad, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's just bad. I think Iron Crown probably wins. I feel like
probably
Iron Crown wins.
If it's like a decent speeded like Steel Spike, that would be insane.
Yeah,
like, Solrock though.
Solrock too. I don't think any of them are going to be good. I just don't think any of them are going to be that good.
No, I know. I could see Rock Psychic like being good at a certain like a singular build like Scarf or something like that if it's got an okay speed, because even Terrakion's still good, but giving it hard-hitting Psychic, hard-hitting Rock, probably going to have hard-hitting Fighting too, just because of what they were. Like, that could be scary too, to a degree.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I don't know. It really depends on what their actual, like, stats are, and, like, what they... If they get access to something crazy. Because, like, at bare minimum, you're thinking Stone Edge Thigh Blade, which is decent. for like something. Or rock slide.
Some weird high crit build or something.
Or just,
if they give it a good rock move, that could be a game changer. Like,
well, they're gonna get probably Stone Edge or like Rock Slide. So one way or another,
yeah. But it,
rock move.
But if it gets a cool signature move, if it gets an accurate rock move,
I don't think it will, because I don't think any of them got that. I don't think any of them got a signature move.
Because Walking Wake did.
Both of them did.
All of them do.
The issue is that. I don't know what you know what the Iron Crown is, if it has something different than Psyblade, because Psyblade was a signature.
I remember something talking about something, but I feel like it does.
Depending on what it is, because the thing is that the...
If it gets a good Rock-type move that is 100% accurate, I think there is an argument for Rock Psychic, only because having a good Rock-type move is a game changer. There's a reason why all Rock-type moves are bad, because a good Rock-type move would be good. You know what I mean?
My only concern is that the pattern they... go on.
The Iron Crown's new move is Tachyon Cutter.
That's right.
Never misses, releases two successive hits on the target.
Right,
so
that's what it was.
It's double hit, but steal.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, so...
Never miss, double hit.
So I guess Iron Leaf
So they're
got
all
the
getting signature moves.
I honestly just think like that... I honestly... You're just making the case for Iron Crown, Seth. Like, like that's all you're making.
Meh. Steel Psychic is the best of them because it kind of neutralizes a little bit of Psychic's problem of being weak to everything relevant.
It's just Metagross, like, that's all, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If it's fast Metagross, it'll make me think it'll be good.
Yeah.
It might get a fast Volt-switching Stealth Rock Setter, like just like Cobalion.
Yeah. All right, well, we've padded the time now, so we've done good on this new segment. We're going to go ahead then, guys, and we're going to kick it on over to our Poke Quiz. So let's quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge.
Oh, hi, and welcome to the Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we quiz our co-hosts on their insane Pokemon knowledge. I'm Mark from the Dunsparce Gang, here to explain the rules. Our fabulous co-hosts will work as a team to answer five Pokemon-themed trivia questions that fans have submitted on the Discord server. Each question is worth 1 point, with Pokedex and multiple answer questions worth more, for a total of 7 points. The hosts can use a free hint at any time. If they get all the answers correct and do not use the hint, they can cash it in for an 8th point.
Welcome to another Poke Quiz. Thank you for that introduction. I'm going to go ahead and read these questions. Your co-hosts have it. We're going to jump right into it. I do not know if I will accidentally duplicate a question from last week because I have a couple different answers here. Seth is going to use his Boy Scout honor.
I'll let you know.
And he will let me know. So I apologize in advance. This first question is going to come to you from Onjur. Pokemon has had over 50 spinoff games over the years in the U.S. alone. What was the first spinoff or Pokemon spinoff game to release in the U.S.?
Ooh.
Okay. Yeah. I'm thinking, it's not a...
Yellow wouldn't be a spinoff.
No, that's main series.
No.
Yeah.
I'm thinking pinball or TCG.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. Between the two,
it would be a Game Boy Color game, which
I feel like TCG probably is right. I can remember playing both of those. Pinball required a lot of extra technology.
It did. I'm just trying to think of anything else because not like a.
Are you talking about a AAA battery as extra technology?
Yeah, didn't it have a rumble pack, or was that the new one?
Well, no, it does have a rumble pack in it, but like it was included in the, like it was part of the cartridge.
It was part of the cartridge, which is extra technology.
Something we saw in like Crystal, which I'm not saying it didn't happen before that, but I think that also means it was specifically a color game, which I don't know if TCG was as well.
Yeah.
I think it is actually too. I think they're both color games.
Hmm.
Cause that's the thing I'm trying to think of. Like, I'm like pretty sure TCG is the color, and I'm thinking pinball was because of that. I'm remembering like the color label, but I could be wrong. I never owned. That was like one of the few games I never owned, I don't think, was the OG pinball.
Okay. Part of me.
Go ahead.
Part of me leans. I'm trying to think if they like had color when I was playing them a lot. I only played it on a color, but I was trying to think if they like really leaned into it.
I'm kind of okay with the thing TCG at this point. It's like one or the other, the coin flip, I feel. And I can't think of, like, I think TCG would definitely probably make before Pinball.
Yeah. But Pinball has an established IP, so they can make that kind of level of spin-off game. TCG is still trying to get you to buy in. So,
we'll say TCG.
TCG! Lock in.
Unfortunately, the answer was Pokemon Pinball.
Pokemon
Pinball launched on... I lost my sheet. There we go. Pokemon Pinball launched on June 28th, 1999. One sec, let me get you your TCG Game Boy Color game when that released in the
2008.
U.S. 2008. It did release in April 10th, 2000, so almost like a year later.
Oh, dang. Actually.
Okay. So Pinball was first by a long shot.
I should have known that just by memory. Whoops.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. No worries. You guys have opportunities, you know?
Exactly.
So your next question is going to come to you from... Oh, we have you guys. Because it's you guys, I'm going to ask you a stupid question from Jamie.
Oh, no.
Yep. Okay. What TCG card's sole effect is shuffle your deck?
TCG card? Just the card?
The card, and its only effect is shuffle your deck.
It's not like the attack of a Pokemon? No, that's shuffling a hand into your deck.
It's a trainer.
It's a trainer.
I know, if you ask me for Yu-Gi-Oh, I know exactly what this is. But I don't know this for Pokemon.
Well, thankfully this is a Pokemon podcast.
The answer is,
Pot of Greed.
Pokegear.
Pot of Greed.
The answer is Pokegear.
Yeah, it's probably like a gen, I don't know.
I can tell you it's from the Heart Gold Soul Silver era.
Really?
Oh, I have no idea. I have no idea then.
Okay. I might have a copy of it because I've randomly gotten a lot of older cards from people.
Because if it was like Gen 1 or Gen 2, I would probably know it, but I could like guess at it because I looked through it recently, but I've never gotten like a Heart Gold Soul Silver.
It's not like a weird Imakuni thing.
I don't think Imakuni was around again at that point.
I don't think it was, but that vibe.
Like, confuses like your active Pokemon or both active Pokemon.
It'll make some sense. I just assumed you were asked the other question last week, so I didn't.
We were asked the other question. I know Claude threatened us with this, and I chose the other one. Apparently, very intelligently chose the other one because I got nothing.
So it's Heart Gold, Soul Silver. So think of that, and like think of things that might shuffle up like letters.
Is it like Ruins Alpha Lithograph? Is that the card name?
Alpha Lithograph.
Is that your answer?
When you say letter, that's the only thing I can think of, and I know there are like the unknown lithograph cards. I don't know which one.
I think
one,
that's what it is, and it's like in unknown.
Yeah, it's like I remember the card. I remember seeing it. It's like a faded card with like yellow and brown, and then it's like the Alpha. It looks like a slab.
Lock in Alpha Lithograph.
Alpha Lithograph is correct.
Yes.
Okay.
That is correct. It is the only card where you have to just shuffle your deck. How much is it? That card is $25 right now. Wow. Damn it.
Is it really? Makes sense. Yeah. It's like a one of a kind type of thing. Anyways, makes one of a kind. But you know,
it's very interesting. Yeah. All right. So your next question is your Pokédex entry question. Do you remember what the answer to your Pokédex entry question was last week, Seth? No.
If you read the first one, I'll tell you if it was it.
This entry is from Pokémon Sword. And it reads, people fear it due to a belief that it devours any who try to cut down trees in its forest. But to the Pokémon it shares its woods with, it's kind.
Yeah, it's like not Trevenant? This entry from last week. So, yeah, I believe Trevenant feels good. So,
what's your answer?
What was the big part of the first part of it? It was
people fear it.
People fear
due to
it.
A fear due to a belief that it devours any who try to cut down trees in its forest. But to the Pokemon it shares its woods with, it is kind.
Yeah,
I think that's Trevenant. I wanted to know if I heard like a word like it curses people or something more than that. Yeah, to confirm. But I do think Trevenant makes sense.
Lock in Trevenant.
Trevenant is correct.
Whoa!
Wow, that's a long time since we've had the first entry. Yeah, pick up there. gives you guys 3 points.
Well.
the entry we had to back that up, if you somehow did not realize that talking about trees in a forest was a Trevenant, is from the Pokemon Y, and it reads, using its roots as a nervous system, it controls the trees in the forest. It's kind of the Pokemon that reside in its body.
definitely would have gotten it at that. I thought that was just the coolest dex entry because that's a thing trees do.
All right. Well, your next question is your multiple answer question. You can get up to 3 points here. So this one is going to come to you. Hopefully this one's going to come to you from, let's see. This is going to be from Elite Four Brandt potentially. There are 6 answers. I'll only need 4 of them. So what are the 6 Pokemon that evolve using a Moonstone? I'll get 1 point for every 2 you give me.
Clefairy. Cool.
Confirming that was not last week's, so yep.
Yep. Okay.
Oh, okay. Clefairy, Jigglypuff,
Nidorino.
Okay, yep. That's 4, so that's 2 instantly. Points. There's 2 more that you're missing.
Yeah. What are the other 2?
I'm trying to think. Now, we got the Gen 1ers, and now
the easy ones. I don't think there's anything super recent that did it.
There's something, like,
you do have
a
hint as well, by the way, but
and we have gotten a question
that.
Incorrect, right?
Because
yes. Yeah, we got 2,
question
think,
one.
Here.
We got question 1 incorrect, so
might as well use it here because I feel like it'd be okay at the base stat.
One of these is a normal type from Gen 3, and another one of these is a psychic type from Gen
Skitty.
5.
Psychic from Gen 5.
Skitty is correct. Skitty the Dokkaddy.
What psychics are in Gen 5? I can't think. Muna. There we go.
Muna to Musharna is correct. Yeah.
That was in my head, but I convinced myself that that was incorrect from like, oh no, he uses Dream Dust or something stupid.
But yeah, there you guys go. You guys got all 3 there. Well, knocking this out of the park. We're just not going to have a show this week. We're going to do everything very quick. All right. So your next question is your Pokemon base stat question. Hopefully I do not repeat from last week again. This one is fun. I like this question. What Pokemon with the regenerator ability has the highest HP stat?
Okay. Immediately, Reuniclus comes to mind at 110.
Alomomola? What's regenerator? Are there Amoongus? I think Amoongus is like sub 100. Or not sub 100, sub 110, I think. I'm more relying on you. I can just think of names and go from there.
It's definitely Alomomola. I think it's like 150. I said Reuniclus,
I remember, like, the reason it was played, other than that, I think it had, an okay, it's defensive, and then it was, like, just big HP is what got it there.
Yep. Yeah, that's what's really good. It can pass really stupid wishes. So
Alomomola, then.
Alomomola.
Alomomola is correct with 165. That does change up the trivia standard. How many points did you guys get there? 6? 6? I feel like 6 is the right
Something
answer.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Really a little close. Fun with this.
I'm
going to
say
6.
I'm
going to
say 6 is correct. I'm going to go with that. That does change up our standings. Nobody's crossed the line yet, actually.
I'm so close.
Nobody's crossed the line. Oh, my gosh. This is the most points I've seen, like, total on the board in ever.
I think Claude added last week's to it.
You want to know what's worse? Is there are 5 people that could technically win, like, next week if they play.
Right. Yeah.
There, in first place, we have Seth Vila with 38 in the race to 40. In second place, we've got Linian with 36. In third place, Shark Finnegan with 34. Tied for 4th, we've got Whimsicott and Dr. Shamu with 32. Sixth place, we've got Sigma with 28. In 7th, Sublime with 27. In 8th, Jushiro with 23. And 9th, Mark with his new child with 20. And Claude is bringing up the rear with 12. Mostly because he just replaces me as host when I'm gone. So,
He mentioned that last week too, actually.
Yeah, I believe that. Yeah, I'm sorry, Claude. I told him he's allowed to just add the points to his score if he felt like it. But yeah, that is it for this week's Poke Quiz. We are going to go ahead, guys, and we are going to cut it here. If you want more of this, listen to us next week. If not, we're going to go ahead and kick it on over to the topic. We have another review. This one is going to be from SpartanTHX117. 5 stars, longtime listener, first time I've ever written a review for a podcast. I first started listening to your podcast when driving to meet my girlfriend on the weekends, when neither of us had to work. Since then, we've moved in together and become engaged. The both of us have been playing Pokemon since we were kids, and we have both listened to your podcast when traveling or working around the house together. We may not score too well on the quiz part, but we always enjoy the topics and conversation between the host and guests. Keep doing what you're doing. Well, thank you for that, and congrats on the engagement. If you would like your review read on the show, leave one, and it might be read. Until then, guys, we're going to kick it on over to the topic.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the topic. Our topic today is going to be the newest things about the DLC we got right before the DLC coming out.
Woo!
So there's a few things. I wouldn't say this was like groundbreaking. The trailer was really fun to watch, and I didn't think the trailer itself revealed too many new things.
Yeah.
There are some things to talk about that I think are really interesting in that trailer. And, I mean, I'm going to go in no specific order. I'm just going to pick things that I think are interesting to talk about.
Uh-huh.
This one's probably pretty small, and I think we all kind of saw it coming to some extent. But there is a way to unlock, like, full flight in Koridon or Moridon. They have confirmed that.
What?
They have confirmed that you will actually be able to... So the trial that's set by... Amaris. There we go. Thank you for... they're just making up names. Okay.
That's a flower.
Amaris of the Blueberry League Elite Four. While it's believed to be a temporary power, it can actually be learned. I believe that it's semi-confirmed to happen through just like extra quests that you do in the Blueberry Academy. But you will be able just to use it like everywhere. Like you'll be able to use it in Paldea. You'll be able to use it in Kitakami.
Yeah, it'll be something you'll knock and goes everywhere. Makes sense, yeah.
Golly gee, maybe that's how we get to that locked off area at Paldea proper.
Stop it, stop it, stop it. That's gonna...
Maybe that's where all the legends will start dropping.
No, that's... One, first of all, that's not what happens if you want to segue into that.
That's true, yeah.
DLC 3?
DLC. I mean, I... Okay, first of all, Thatch is very hyped if DLC 3 is real. Like, I would be very excited for that. Like, Scarlet and Violet have been a good time. If they could keep it going, I'm here for it. I digress. They have announced, like, every other Pokemon game, there's always ways to get the box art legends from every other game.
Yep.
They have announced that there is a way to do this.
And it's the silliest.
It is silly. It is silly. While you're there, you're going to be able to go make snacks.
Who do you get the snacks from, Thatch?
From Snacksworth at the Blueberry Academy.
Mr. Snacksworth gives you snacks?
Yes, he does.
Shamu.
If you've met certain conditions, you'll be able to get snacks from him that will let you encounter a specific legendary Pokemon in Paldea proper. So you're going to have to go search for it in the overworld of Paldea. You're going to be able to just go catch them. So like Rayquaza has been confirmed. Spectra and Glastra have been confirmed. What's interesting about that is Calyrex has not been confirmed.
Yep. Not visually.
Yeah, not visually at least. It might be like in the code or something, but...
Honestly, what makes me happy about this is that we get Kung Fu and a probable catchable ball, so we can get, like, Beast Ball, Kung Fu, and Urshifu. I don't look forward to playing through the game three times, but hey.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's true.
And getting DLCs again.
Yikes.
Kung Fu and Urshifu are, yeah, those are, Kung Fu's been confirmed. A good number of Pokemon have been, I think it's something like 25 or something.
Yeah, something like that.
It's going to be very exciting to be able to do. I mean, I always enjoy like the legendary catches. I didn't enjoy max raids for that purpose. I enjoyed max raid battles for other reasons. Like when we went through and we, you know, you could just do rental Pokemon. That was fun.
Yeah, that's true.
But I do enjoy like when you get to do these catch-a-thons, especially like this, because they give you a challenge and it's a reason you have to go explore and find them. I like this. I like this even a lot better than like in Gen 6 when you had to go find like the Hoopa rings and everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is like the ultimate way to do it, in my opinion.
I am looking forward to summoning Groudon with a granola bar.
I just think it's a really cool idea. I think this is like the most interesting way we've had to just go catch legendaries, you know?
I want to see what each one's snack is.
Yes.
I hope it's not just Rayquaza snack. I hope it's something goofy.
It's Groudon granola. What do you mean?
I don't know. Also, what's really exciting is like in the trailer, like when you see it too, it's very obvious that like new models have been done for all of these Pokemon.
Yeah, you can see the scales on Ray.
And they just look so much better. They look so good.
Yeah.
I am actually very impressed with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just keep it up. Just keep it up, Pokemon. You're making me so happy.
Except Terrakion. Terrakion, you saw it from the front in one of the images.
Yeah.
That is the dumbest looking thing if you're looking at it straight on. I've not seen a dumber looking Pokemon than the giant frog rock that is Terrakion.
Yeah, but I just enjoy that they're willing to bring back these Pokemon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hate when they do that, especially in the last two generations, when they're like, they're bringing back these legendary Pokemon, but they're not in the decks.
I want like new dex entries at least, so I can get one little snippet of lore.
I don't know, like, I know national dex isn't a thing, but can we get like, I don't know, like Paldea national dex? I don't know how to phrase it, you know what I mean? But like, I don't know, I kind of want that.
Or just like no dex number, but have a dex entry.
Yeah, or something like that. I don't know. I just want to wait one so I can catalog how many of them I've gotten so far. so I don't forget like, oh, I caught Rayquaza, you know?
It'll probably be one per save two at this guess. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I don't know. That's all I'm thinking. I think it's also been confirmed through articles as well as these are all level 70 encounters.
Yeah, I saw that somewhere. They're all 70. Yeah,
they're all 70, so.
And they have their, They match the appearance, because like, I'm looking at Therapy here, it says like Rayquaza has the same battle super ancient Pokemon, so like they'll match songs if they exist.
Oh.
The old music is coming back too. Yeah, I'm actually pretty hyped for that.
That's actually kind of slick.
Yeah, I'm pretty hyped for that. That's exciting. That's exciting in and of itself, I think. Something very interesting. Another thing that I saw come up, and I saw some discussion about, is they've got this new synchronization feature in the game. from the Synchro Machine. This is such a weird, like, this is something that, this is like a very typical Pokemon thing to do. It's nothing that I wanted, but it's something that is interesting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I've never wanted this. So the idea of this is there's a Synchro Machine you can get if you work with a professor in the Terrarium in the Blueberry Academy.
Excuse you. It's pronounced the Terrarium.
Oh, the Terrarium. Thank you for making it even much more of a tongue twister. Yeah.
Because it's a It's a Terrarium, not a Terrarium. There's two R's in Terrarium. It's a Terrarium.
Sure.
Because of Terra stylization.
Oh, I get it.
There is a Synchro Machine when you go into the Union Circle.
Yep.
You can even use it in the Union Circle as well. But what this lets you do is control your Pokemon. Be your Pokemon, and you can battle as your Pokemon. This is something that people have been asking for so long, and I'm so frustrated that they gave it to people. It feels like walking behind Pokemon. You know that phenomenon that everybody loves?
Following Pokemon.
I feel like if they had it in, this wasn't easy.
I want to be my Pikachu!
I want to be the Pokemon and use the attacks!
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here like, oh man, they did it. They did let the people do it.
Guys, we finally got the Mystery Dungeon remake. This is it!
It also has been confirmed that it's not just like the Pokemon of the trailer, because we saw like the Pika clones, which would be very typical.
I thought it was just going to be the Pika clones. I'm not even going to lie.
But it has been confirmed it is every Pokemon in Scarlet and Violet.
Wow.
Every Pokemon in Scarlet and Violet can do this. I don't see why not, to be fair, because the walking animations exist.
They have the models of them moving. Yeah. They have all the animations and things.
Yeah, the walking animations exist.
I can't wait to sneak up on people as like, I don't know, a Giratina.
I don't know if you're sneaking up on them at that point, Seth.
Hello. Like, they're in a battle, and they turn around and just, gah!
Hello. I honestly don't understand this. I honestly don't understand this feature, or who this is for.
This is where we're going to be, like, the National Geographic hideous duck.
Does this work in multiplayer?
Yeah, it does work in multiplayer.
So imagine you're just in multiplayer, and you just see, like, three Giratina running in a line across the screen. We're gonna get, like, red versus blue in Pokemon. People are gonna, like, move the Pokemon to, like, voice line.
No, what I think will be even funnier is, like, your friend, I mentioned this in the thread, like, you know that your buddy's been really, really after that shiny whatever. Shiny...
Oh, do you have to run in as the shiny Pokemon that they want?
You run in as shiny Glimmit, and they freak out, like, oh god, it's time to catch it. Why isn't it engaging me in battle?
Oh, that's a good way to mess with your friends. I see nothing. I don't. So I honestly, maybe
I see nothing good from this.
So, okay. So I'm going to ask you this question because from my perspective, I don't understand the purpose of this feature existing in this game or at all.
No.
Do either of you see a use or a reason, or like, has there been a desire for people to want to do this?
Trolling.
I just think it's a thing that they had access to and they thought that would be cool. Let's just do it. I feel like it's one of their things of like, let's just do this, you know? Maybe there's something they've wanted.
What with all their coding spare time?
He's coding spare...
Yeah, like, I assume it wasn't much to put it in.
Yeah, let's not make the game perform better. Let's not make the game perform better. Let people be Pokemon instead.
Because you're also acting like this is a very hard thing to code. I don't think it would be that hard. You just go, cool, click button. You have all the models, you have all the files there, you just have the game go, cool, I'm gonna do this thing and read this image, like, find this thing, put this pattern, like...
Watch it only be able to be done in, like, a 100-foot circle from you.
I do wonder, because I haven't seen anything saying that you can, like, do this in Paldea proper or anything yet.
So there might be limitations to it, too.
Yeah, I don't know if there's limitations. It just feels like a very unnecessary thing in the game. It just feels very unnecessary.
I can't wait to see how and why and where people troll people with this. This will be funny.
Yes, I just...
Because maybe there's some, like, minigame we don't know about, but I just don't know what would apply to it, you know? I don't get it.
I don't know. It's so weird.
Or, like, silly YouTube clips, like an Arceus interacting with Dialga and Palkia and reprimanding them, and people do, like, voiceover things.
Yeah, red versus blue thing, essentially, yeah.
I think that is...
Stupid things like that.
I think that's literally what's going to come out of this. I absolutely agree with that. That is what's going to come out of this.
Oh, yeah, totally. It will come out of it. It's funny, though.
Right. So, I don't know. Do you guys have anything else you want to say about that before we move on?
No.
Good, because I have nothing else to add to this. So, they did come up with blueberry quests as a thing you can do.
Barbecues?
Yeah, BBQs, which I think is the cutest acronym that they could have done to make this feel more like the United States.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. It's in Unova, technically.
Because this is the Blueberry Academy is in Unova.
I forgot. Oh.
So BBQs are assigned by students all around the school. And when you complete them, you get blueberry points or BP, because they've been trying to come up with new reasons to call it BP and not battle, or BP not battle points in the past, like, two gens. You can use your BP in the school store, in the cafeteria. You're probably getting cool things. But you can also add features to your club room and invite other trainers, you know, to the academy. They said there's 23 trainers you can add to the academy, or you can invite to the academy as well. Which is interesting to me, because, like, I'm having a hard time thinking of 23, in all honesty.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, like, off the top of my head, there's 8 gym leaders. We can, let's say, the Elite Four, so that's another 4 people, because Larry isn't there twice.
There's, like, the school teachers, right?
There's teachers. We see Thaguro is one of them. So you got Nimona, Arvin, Penny. That's another 3. I thought it's 15.
And then probably Kieran and his sister. And
there's at least like 8 more you can get. Yeah, you've got like 5 faculty with like Jacques, Sagoro, Miriam. I can't remember her name. Dendra, the history teacher. I can't remember her name. She's got like the fucking tassel thing.
Oh yeah, we see her walking in. Yeah.
Yeah, her. And that's another 5 right there. And then Kieran.
We're probably pretty close then. We're probably pretty close.
Kieran Carmine plus, like, someone.
Kieran won't come talk to you. Don't even include him.
No, actually, no, he'll probably be just a thing separate from that, honestly.
Also, probably, like, the four trainers from the Blueberry Elite Four.
That would put it above 23.
Yeah, so, okay, never mind. It's hat. Okay, no surprise. I was kind of hoping...
I assume anything from, like, Blueberry will be in Blueberry separate from this Bet League thing. Unless they just appear without you inviting them, and they just pop up something else, but I don't know.
Yeah, I was just kind of hoping it would happen, I don't know, like, part of me was just kind of hoping they would do more world-building stuff with it. It's one of my things that I didn't really like about Sword and Shield is, like, we're making references to the wider Pokemon world, and this is a very dumb nitpick, by the way, too, because I think if you're a new player, it doesn't really matter to you, but as an older fan of the series, it matters to me, like, a little bit. Because even in Gen 7, like, we had Grimsley show up. And I would love just, like, one of the Unova gym leaders to show up. You know what I mean? Like, just one of them. I don't care which one.
That's fair.
Like, maybe Sharon shows up or something, you know? Like, that would be wild.
It still could happen. We don't know.
No, it could. But, like, imagine if, like, Sharon and Bianca showed up. That would be really cool. I'd be really hyped by that.
You remind me of an old friend of mine.
It would be cool to have a game where you have the whole, like, gang back together. Kind of like how Black and White did with the World Championship thing to a degree.
Man, but I keep waiting for a World Championship thing to happen again. I just don't think it's ever going to happen.
No, I don't. Because even at the time, I thought that I didn't like it at the time when it came out. But, like, it is a cool concept in post.
I know. Right now, I would be so hype. I would be so hype if it happened right now.
It is a cool concept, though.
All right. Well, I mean, speaking of letting people come in, like, to visit your room and everything with the blueberry points, you can actually go ahead, and when you invite them, you can talk with them. They'll actually trade you a Pokemon. And what's really cool about that is, like, when you send the Pokemon out, it won't just be like, you sent out Magnemite. It'll say, this is Iotto's Magnemite.
And you can shout to your opponent, I traded 3 gifted subs for this.
But I think it's just so cool to have this partner ribbon on it. Joe Merrick put a really cool thing on Twitter about it as well, where he said that it's such a good idea because then you can give out events with the partner ribbon on it now too.
Oh yeah.
So you know how, like, every Worlds we always get a Gastrodon because a Gastrodon always does well?
Oh.
So, like, the Gastrodon you would get would be somebody's Gastrodon, so when you send it out, this is this person's Gastrodon.
Doesn't it do that already? Didn't we get that for the Dragapult?
No.
Really?
No, the Dragapult doesn't have that.
I would have sworn we did. Okay.
No, this doesn't exist. This is new. This is, like, the first thing.
Oh. Oh, yeah. First time in DLC. I'm reading it now. Yep. The partner ribbon. Okay.
Yeah. And then imagine also, like, I don't know, other events. You know how we get, like, random Pokemon events? It would be really cool if they got attached to partners. Like, let imagine we got... like another Dragonite. It could be like, this is Lance's Dragonite.
Lance's Dragonite, since he has Garchomp, Steven's Metagross, like, Roxanne's Nosepass, like, whatever.
I stole these from them.
It's such a cool idea. I love the idea of the partner ribbon. I would love something more where if you could... I want the task to be semi-difficult so you can't grind it out. Grinding it out is a huge chore, but I would love something where you could do it for yourself as well. I think that would be really cool. Like, imagine being able to hand out, like, Thatch's, you know, Totodile or something. Or Seth's Sableye.
Yeah, maybe one Pokemon.
No, like, it would be really cool as, like, a touch for, like, something you trade to a friend or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's something that you, like, I don't want you to be able to grind it out. Like, I don't want you to be able to grind that out. I want it to be hard to get.
The concept is cool.
Like, it needs to be like Mount Battle. It needs to be like Mount Battle difficult. You know what I mean?
But still, getting that as, like, the promo Pokemon from, like, the guy who won Worlds would be so cool.
Wouldn't that be really cool?
That would be really slick.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Someone's Pachirisu or whatever.
Yeah, I just think it's such a cool idea. I would love, I hope this gets expanded upon. I don't think it'll get expanded upon here, but maybe next gen.
I could see them doing more of, like, trainer ones. I'm trying to think of how they would do it with any random info, because it'd have to be, like, I guess it would, like, read the OT and just go, this is OT, this, so it's, like...
So something that's really disappeared from Pokemon games lately, and probably for somewhat good reason, but something that I kind of miss is, like, in-game trades. That hasn't happened a lot in general. Like, let me see if I can find the last... Like, I know Gen 9 technically has in-game trades, but, let me see. It's got, like, 3 of them that you can trade for a Snom with some guy in Cortando. You can trade for a regular Wooper with a Paldean Wooper in Kasakafra. And then there's a person that will trade you a Haunters for a Pincurchin. But, like, that's not exciting because, like, but I would like imagine if you had like even Gen 8, I think was awful too. Let me look at that real quick.
I think it would have been really cool for them to have like one.
Gen 8 had like 5 more. Like, oh my gosh, Gen 8 had so many actually.
Like, trades are a really cool thing. Like, they don't always get used, but it's a cool option to have.
No, I just like having them. I think it's really cool. Yeah, Gen 9 actually had 1, 2, 3, or Gen 8, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Granted, 2 of those are to trade for Meowth and for Yamask. But, like, outside of that, like, that's really cool. This also doesn't include, like, all the regional trades you can do in Isle of Armor.
Oh, yeah.
Which is insane. So, like, that had so many more. And I think Gen 7 even had a good number of them as well. Like, I don't know. I really like in-game trades, and I would love for, like, that to be added to in-game trades, if you know what I mean.
We may get a couple. We don't know all that's there yet. So, who knows?
Oh, maybe there are some in the Blue Peak Area Academy. That's a good point. I just think it would be really cool to add the ribbon to it.
I bred this, and it's not the right IVs here.
Also, they brought back throwing styles, which is kind of cool. You do have to use blueberry points for it, but you can do throwing styles where you can change the way your character in game throws Pokeballs, which is kind of hype. Actually, I hate that is hype for me, but like, I think they're really cool. I do think it's really cool. It's a really cool way to personalize the game.
Anything cosmetic, I think, is awesome. Like, it's an awesome include. Like, throwing styles, like, ball seals are cool too, but we don't get them. Yeah, throwing styles is a very easy thing for them to include with, like, animations, I feel. And they've got a chunk of them already, so it's not...
Yeah, I think this is most of what happened. I mean, they're just like, also, oh, you're going to the last place in Area Zero. And it's just like, yeah, of course, we do this. So I think that is like all of the news that we really got out of it. It's not a ton of news, granted. It's not a huge news dump, with anything massive or big.
Nah, it's a bunch of snippets with just like, it's a teaser, really. Like, here's a bunch of stuff to look forward to. And then you'll go and like explore the rest of it when it comes out in a week.
I am actually very excited. I'm very excited.
One interesting thing that someone pointed out on Twitter today, that was really cool, is we heard in the trailer at the very end when they were dropping the, like, new in Area Zero with the tree and all that kind of stuff, and you see Terrapagos in its normal form, its Terra turtle form, and then it spins up and does a thing. But when it's in those two, when it walks in on the little baby form and then the big turtle form, you hear two different aspects of its cry, which is what you've been hearing the whole time when you terrastalize. The little water droplet, the ba-da-ba-da-ba-ding, that happens right as the crystals come up. That is Terrapagos's cry.
I also think, I don't know, I really want to know what is going on with the eyeballs on the crowns. What are the eyeballs?
What is going on? Why can it see through all of its crystals? What does it have scrying permanently?
I want to know. I want to know. There's so many things I want to know. I just need to know stuff.
I'm enjoying the wholesome theme, too, of, like, starting with a tree, ending with a tree.
Yeah.
I love that. Because all the professors have, like, a tree name, or, like, in this case, it's, like, Clavel, technically. So, like, all the tree names, and then now you're ending with a tree. Like, some of them, like, aren't exactly, but there's, like, a tree theme at some point towards, like, an end game. Like, X and Y, X, if you have Xerneas, they're like, oh, there's...
You know us Pokemon fans and our trees.
We gotta criticize them all, too. We gotta judge every tree. We should have a tree tier list.
Tree tier list. Next week's episode.
Every aspect of trees in Pokemon.
That's next week's episode. We're not gonna talk about the deal.
Mailbag this week. Write in your favorite tree...
We're not going to talk about the DLC. We're going to talk about trees.
I like the Heart Gold, Soul Silver ones that look like buff men.
Yeah, those are nice. I think they're better than Trevenant, so it should be like in B tier.
Better than Trevenant.
Like every tree or tree aspect in Pokemon, the professors, the Pokemon, the actual trees.
Tree tier list for all of them. All of them.
The tree secret bases from Ruby and Sapphire eras and stuff.
Boy, do we have a filler topic.
We got a bunch of trees. All the berry trees? Come on, we got a lot to go over.
Let me get a couple of small things that we grabbed from Famitsu before we're done today. But the blueberry points, they're in three quests. They're like three, you get 3,000, just, you can spend it to increase the Pokemon that appear in the Terrarium, you know?
Terrarium.
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 Terrarium. But you can actually use them to increase the Pokemon spawns and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like I said, 23 people able to come to the League Club, and the Synchro Machine can be used with any Pokemon in the game. And when you are a flying Pokemon, if you go over a ledge, you will be flying.
Oh.
Pokemon in flight will remain in flight and not fall down.
Sky battles.
That's what I thought when I heard that. But yeah. That is about it, I think. I don't think anything else crazy or anything new has come out. All I can say is, like, overall, like, I'm just very excited. They, like, that trailer was exciting, and not only that, but, like, when they were just like, also, like, hey, have a Darkrai and a shiny Lucario?
Yeah, this was, like, a wild, like, release of events of, like, Darkrai, Lucario, two legends, and raids.
Well, I kind of like the Darkrai kind of mirrors the Mew from a while back, from a few months ago, because they're just like, oh, Darkrai versus, you know, Palkia and Dialga, and I don't know, they've just been doing such a good job. Oh, I just can't say they've missed on, like, the way they're handling events in-game this gen at all, but, like, I've just been very happy with it. I've just been very happy overall.
I think really the biggest downfall was, like, the Terra Shard thing, but they've kind of fixed that now with, like, the Blizzard.
Apparently, according to Joe, like, Joe Merrick with his little video that he did a couple weeks back, like, you can just find Terra Shards on the ground, and it's not, like, one, it's, like, 20 or 30. Why are they there?
They're just fixing it, it's fine.
They realized...
They're fixing it, but also, like, lore?
I don't know what the lore is. I'm gonna be so disappointed, I think, because I think they're gonna...
Well, you can find Terra Shards already on the ground. That's not a new thing. It's the amount that's...
Yeah, I think they're gonna be... I think they're just... They're gonna pull, like, a good old Pokemon on me, I feel like, very soon. Where it's gonna be, like, something's, like, mostly hinted at, and it's gonna get us 60% of the way to an answer, and then they're just gonna drop it. Like, that's what my full expectation is.
We found Terapagos. Oh, well, cool. Why is it doing a thing? We found Terapagos.
We found Terapagos, and this one page of a 60-page book said that it likes dreams, and that's gonna be it. Yeah, and that's gonna be it. I'm 100% ready to be disappointed in a Pokemon fashion and not understand what's going on. Though, to be fair, I think they've been better about it this gen than previous gens, only because I think they focus so much on the story.
We've got a whole book that we've been freaking out about with this whole time.
Yeah, I think it's very clear that something odd is going on with Paradox Pokemon, and I think we're going to...
And a conspiracy theory magazine.
I think we're going to get some kind of answer, because there's no way they're just going to be like, Heath went down there with a Cyclizar, and then you found what was maybe a Cyclizar.
Watch the one that we've been writing this whole time, Be Heath Cyclizar, yeah.
Be Heath's. That's what, honestly, that is what I'm expecting to be, like, the big twist. Is, like, the Maridon or the Coridon we've gotten is Heath Cyclizar. That's what kind of what I'm expecting. Because, like, they mentioned that, like, all of the Paradox Pokemon come out in, like, infinite quantities, with the exception of Coridon and Maridon. They can only ever get two. So I'm wondering if, like, Heath did it once and then tried to do it again and was, like, only semi-successful, and that's why the one was so much more aggressive than to ours. You know what I mean? I'm wondering if that might be the case.
Who knows? This will be fun to figure out in a week.
I'm hoping in a week there is an answer. That's all I'm hoping, is that maybe there will be an answer next week. I'm not going to hold my breath. We'll find out.
Mm-hmm.
We will find out. But all right. I think this is a good place to wrap up, unless you guys have any points you want to cover. If not,
already said them all.
In regards to that, this is going to be our topic. We're of course going to ask you guys what you think of the DLC for next week, because it will come out for next episode. So please send in those emails at pucklepodcast@gmail.com. But until then, we are going to kick on over to our Pokemon of the episode. We'll catch you on the flip flop.
Episode.
Welcome to our Pokemon of the episode. Our Pokemon of the episode this week is National Dex number 423, Gastrodon, the Sea Slug Pokemon.
It's Legends Arceus West. It's Legends Arceus West Sea. That was a tongue twister I was not expecting. Entry says, eats beach sand for nourishment. Should one Gastrodon encounter another of a different color, a fierce battle will inevitably ensue.
I also need to point out some of the trivia here. It was featured, Gastrodon was featured alongside several bovine Pokemon, namely Tauros, Miltank, and Bufalant, in multiple promotional artworks for, like, New Year's 2021, for Year of the Ox. Gastrodon is an ox slug.
Well, no, honestly, like, if you look at the pink one, like, it kind of, like, with the way the horns are.
I get the horns are. Yeah. But it's funny that they go, yeah, here, it's a cow. The slug of the cow.
It's a sea slug. It's fine.
That doesn't make any sense.
It's fine.
Is it based on, like, the water dragon?
And no, it's based on a sea slug.
No, sea slug.
It's literally based on a sea slug.
Yeah.
Apisthobranchia.
Is literally
okay, that thing. Okay, yeah. Different thing.
Also, fun fact. This is something I've known for a while. Gastrodon was actually intended to originally, instead of being introduced in Diamond and Pearl, be in Gen 3.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be in Gen 3.
Yeah, baby.
It just shows like how they do sometimes like refresh Pokemon designs that they've dumped, which is kind of fun.
Yep.
So
you can look and see the early sprite that was maybe going to be the one in Gen 3.
I think that's too high res to be in Gen 3.
It's in Diamond and Pearl, but it might have been like version 1. Like, oh,
yeah, because I think it was supposed to look different. I think it was supposed to look different originally, but
yeah. The Gastrodon back is like more of a, it looks like a Minior, essentially.
They make
the back
a call to it too. They make a call to it too, because that one, it has a much different look to it and it looks much harder.
Yeah.
And some of the dex entries state that like in old times, it used to have a tough shell, which is kind of a call
That's cute.
Call to that beta sprite thing.
Has there ever been like a good Gastrodon card?
No.
I'm curious.
Maybe an X with something,
looked,
but like,
not really.
Really? Good. Nothing good?
Yeah, because for a little while, Gastrodon, every once in a while when I'm in a mood, makes its way onto my chart.
There are not that many. Oh, there are shockingly few cards. And we haven't had a new one since Lost. Oh, Lost Orchard just happened. Never mind. I'm an idiot. But
there are 7 total ever.
That is so ridiculous. Oh my gosh. That is. And like before that, it was Crimson Invasion and then Steam Siege. And then I think, oh my gosh, there's like
and
no
they're
cards.
All bad.
Yeah.
Well, there's like none of them. It never got a chance. They never let them have a chance to live. They're just like, what if we just made all the cards bad and we just didn't care? And I like how they originally were just like, we'll just have EC and West C Gastrodons.
Yep.
And we're just going to, okay, some of these are just lazy, because like they're just like, what if we took the Sugimori stock art in the year of our Lord 2007 and just slapped it on a card? That doesn't work in 2007, guys. I'm just throwing it out there. That doesn't work. And they only did it for one of them. It's so bad. Okay. I digress. Gastrodon, it's a Pokemon. We know it. We love it. It's given away almost all the time because it's on every VGC team ever. Why is that, Thatch?
Because it's good.
Because it's got Storm Drain as an ability. What are its other abilities? It doesn't matter. It has Storm Drain. And for those of you unaware, if Storm Drain is used anywhere in a double battle, it prevents the water type move from being used and just gives Gastrodon a +1 special attack. Crazy. It's just insane. Yep. It makes it good. And even it used to outside of battle actually increase your chance of getting a water type Pokemon encounter.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, when that was a feature that happened.
That used to. Yep, I miss things like that.
Magnapole, stuff like that. It's cute. We can't do it anymore because there's no actual grass.
There's no grass like anymore, which is sad.
Yeah.
Also, water ground is a good type. It has like one weakness. It turns out I mean, it's just a
one
good,
really bad weakness, but
one weakness.
If they see a leaf, they just faint.
Yes. And also the stats aren't terrible. Like base 111 HP, base 83 attack, which is okay. Base 68 defense.
Fired and Tyrant Talonflame.
Which is okay. Base 92 special attack, which is not terrible, actually. Base 82 special defense combined with 111 HP is pretty good. Like an AV on this guy would go far, except it would need
too many good support moves.
Well, it would also just need like moves to attack with, like, let's be fair. And then like 39 speed, because like Gastrodon, I can see you running 3 moves on it ever. You run a ground type move, you run a water type move, you run ice beam.
Not anymore. Now that it got all the moves in the world, the thing that used to set Gastrodon apart from other things in OU, like the reason people ran Seismitoad in the Dracovish days, is because Seismitoad could do other things when it was in.
Yep.
Gastrodon kind of could with Toxic, but nothing else. Like, it wasn't a Stealth Rock setter until now. It even got spikes.
It did get setter. It did get things set. You are correct.
So it's got some cool use.
So that's nice.
Yeah. I mean, it still dominates VGC because it's just good.
Yeah,
it's just good. Because water's typically spread, and water's just a good type to attack with, typically. So Gastrodon just has a lot of utility in that regard.
And we're doing a VGC team spoiler, because all of the regular Smogon tiers are about to collapse, so we just decided to do something that'll be sort of stable.
Until Smogon falls apart.
Yeah.
So,
if anything, it'll be more firm after this, because we've all been kind of like, I don't really want to invest a lot of time in either learning or playing in a new meta when it's going to
change next week.
Month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, you're not wrong. So we do have a VGC team for you guys this week. Like Woo. Seth said, we do have Gastrodon's the star. I don't actually know if that's true. It's just a VGC team. So I can't tell you that.
It's the one that'll be given away.
No, it will not be, but that is okay.
Well, I mean, like,
Okay, I understand. So Gastrodon is holding Citrus Berry because that is what Gastrodon do. Maybe leftovers in a VGC team, but even then I would kind of argue that might not make sense.
Leftovers somewhere else right now. Yeah. That's why it's not there.
Yeah, but even then, I don't know if it makes sense. Yeah, you have item lock in VGC, which I think makes things a little bit more exciting, to be fair, because you can't run,
item claws is a good thing. It's a good thing for VGC. Yeah.
I think item claws might be even a good thing in, like, OU, but that's a different story. So you've got Gastrodon with Citrus Berry, with Storm Drain. It's a Terra type is Fairy, mostly probably to get you out of a Grass type weakness. And this is... it has a VGC EV spread, so who cares? Quiet nature. It's got Earth Power as an attack, Ice Beam, Yawn for support, so you can force switches, and Protect, because we are playing VGC. Because you like making fire, water, grass cores, and we've got 2/3 of that. Well, actually, we've got the whole core here. That I think about it. Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Do we?
Right? Yeah, we do. Yeah. We do. You got fire, water, grass core. You also have Heatran, which is just genuinely just been a good Pokemon for its entire existence, because Fire Steel turns out to be a really good type combo.
It's better when you make a new type that it resists quad.
Yeah. So it does quad resist the type that Gastrodon is weak to. So it has it's Flash Fire. It is holding leftovers because we're going to run a bulkier set. This is a HP focus set with a little bit of special attack investment. It's got the Terra type grass, just so that you can withstand earthquakes if those are coming into you. Modest nature, because we're going to have some special attack investment, like I said. Heat wave, so you can hit both opponents on the other side of the field, which is a choice. I don't know how I feel about that. Flash cannon, so you have some steel coverage. Earth power, so you just get even more coverage and protect. You are, in fact, sir, a Heatran. I don't know if somebody wants to take the two next guys, but
these.
Absolutely. Go for it, because the next one is just very very typical nowadays.
Yeah, the very common Rebel Lamp is summon a genie. We've got Tornadus with a mental herb, Prankster, Terra type Ghost. It's just kind of it's more physically defensive with random stats to, like.
It's just defensive because you're just gonna do the things and then Bleak Wind Storm
until
you die.
You're just support with. Your support with Bleak Wind, but you've got 212 HP, 244 defense, 4 special attack, 20 special defense, 28 speed, calm nature, just hitting the numbers and all that, you know, and then Bleak Wind Storm, Taunt, Sunny Day, Tailwind. You're just here to just support, and then spam.
Mm-hmm.
And then, another genie. We got Lando T with the Choice Scarf, Intimidate, of course, Terra Flying. We're running a also kind of defensive, but also speedy build with 68 HP, 52 attack, 108 defense, 28 special defense, and 252 speed with a jolly nature.
Heck yeah.
With Stomping Tantrum, Terra Blast, Rock Slide, U-Turn. Very, very spicy Pokemon, you know.
Actually, I think that's like the number one set on Peekalytics. Let me look, actually.
No. No. That's super spicy. What do you mean?
Landorus is only at 40% usage, so like it's not even that bad, okay?
It's spicier than the
Gastrodon. I'm gonna read you off the top 4 moves for Landorus Therian on Peekalytics right now. This is the top used moves for Landorus in VGC right now. Stomping Tantrum, 97%. U-Turn, 94%. Rock Slide, 92%. Terra Blast, 85%.
See, I didn't say any of those. What do you mean?
It's
got 15% spice.
There are only five moves on the list, by the way. The fifth move is protect because we're playing VGC. There is another category, but other is only run 20% of the time.
Wow.
It is only the third most used Pokemon, though. Just heads up.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I'll take it home with the third genie. We've got Urshifu Single Strike, very well known for granting wishes. It's holding a Focus Sash because it's VGC. Ability is Unseen Fist. Of course, Terra type is Ghost. Max Attack, Max Speed, Jolly Nature with a simple moveset of Wicked Blow, Close Combat, Sucker Punch, and Detect.
I'm still so confused why we chose this Urshifu. I guess Wicked Blow is just good. But I really feel like Rapid Strike is just a better Pokemon. And maybe that's just because they were scared of...
You can't
Surging Strikes, though, I believe, with the Gastrodon anyway.
Oh, Storm Drain. It's a Storm Drain. Yeah. Okay, that's probably why.
Yeah.
And, you know, you do chip damage here and there with, like, Heatran that's bulky, Gastrodon that's whatever, and then this just finishes it off.
Maybe. Yeah, no, usually that's what happens, is you just chip your opponent down for a while, and then you bring something out, like, the Urshifu, and you just bop, 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 bop.
Yep, or perhaps the last thing we have, which is Ogre Pond with its Cornerstone Mask, which makes it a grass rock type. Try remembering those weaknesses. The EVs are...
Steel Fighting.
Something like that.
Ice Steel Fighting. Yeah.
And Poison. Curatorly. No, not Poison. I don't remember.
No, it's just three. It's like Shuckle.
Yeah. And that's, I remember it's because EVs of, like, are... Of that. That's fair.
Let me look.
EVs are real simple. Max Attack, Max Speed, Jolly. Moveset of Ivy Cudgel for a Big Smack Rock type hit. Power Whip for Grass type hit. Low Kick because things are heavy. And Spiky Shield to be annoying.
You did forget a weakness. It is also weak to Bug.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. It is also weak to Bug. It makes no sense because Rock does not resist the things you want Rock to resist.
Nope.
Yeah. Oh.
It is fine. It only resists two types. It literally only resists normal and electric. Everything else hits it fine. Which it's just that type is so weird. Ogre Pond is so weird.
Yeah, I'm saying Rock for a minute, and I was like, that doesn't resist electric.
But yeah, that's the team. Feel free to try it out. We'll drop it in the Discord server. You guys can check it out this week if you'd like. Discord server is at PuckleDiscord.com, everybody who messaged me on Facebook. PuckleDiscord.com. All right. Well, without further ado then, that is your Pokemon of the episode. We are going to kick things on over then to our mailbag.
It's mail time! Send in your email!
Welcome to the mailbag. Our mailbag today is brought to you by the fictional energy drink Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves. And as always, I did this backwards because this is the segment where we read emails from you guys. You can send them in to us at PucklePodcast@gmail.com. I promise I read all of them. We pick three of those and we try to read them on the show. So last week was a top five episode. So boy, oh boy, do you guys have opinions on what your top five and bottom five ice types are. So
I'm sorry.
You know what's worse is like that was our 17th type episode. We've got one more. And then everybody's gonna be like, "That's just never doing one of these again." And they're unfortunately wrong.
Applin, Appleton, Flapple, and
man, this I think the next one's gonna be the most.
What are top five and bottom five apple Pokemon?
The next one's gonna be like the most intense. And then I think people are just like, "That's just never doing one of these again." And they're wrong, unfortunately. Because I've got episode topics for these for days. So
like trees.
It's just not gonna be like full on types. I really just wanna do an episode where we take all of them and just like take the top five and bottom five from all of those lists.
Oh my gosh. Do our own like narrow down the best Pokemon according to us.
But the requirement is they have to be on those lists that we've curated. You know what I mean? Like that, you know what I mean? That'd be fun, right?
So bottom five of the whatever 590 bottom fives that we've had.
But we only do the top of the bottoms and then the worst of the tops.
Oh, reverse it. Ooh.
I don't think we do that. But either way, we've got emails from you guys. I want to jump into it. We will give out the Green Taurus Bash to anybody who inspires us, and also if I remember. So our first email this week is going to be from Pure Glaceon, and I just wonder what Pure Glaceon's favorite ice type Pokemon may be.
Let's find out together. Cool greetings, Puckle Crew. My name is Pure Glaceon, and I'm a longtime lurker of many years. You can probably see where this is going based on my username. As someone whose entire brand is a moody Glaceon wearing a red bandana, I am quite offended, but also somehow pleasantly surprised that my favorite icy dog was forgotten entirely. I have been eagerly awaiting this episode for over a year, expecting Glaceon to make the bottom five list, as so many people see Glaceon as the worst or most forgettable evolution. I am pleasantly surprised that this was not the case, but I see that Glaceon has fallen into obscurity. I will give you three reasons why Glaceon is an amazing Pokemon. Number one, Glaceon is a glass cannon and an amazing special sweeper in a lot of circumstances. With high special attack and speed stats,
Time out. There's no high speed stat. I think, isn't it like 65?
I looked because I didn't know if I got things wrong. It is 65, and it doesn't have any way to boost speed. So that's...
Pure Glaceon, I love you, but it does not have a high speed stat. Continue.
Compared to anyway, Glaceon can use moves such as Ice Beam and Blizzards to sweep teams entirely. The move Freeze Dry, which was introduced in Gen 8, I believe, which allows for Water-type super effectiveness, makes Glaceon an even better sweeper in Gen 8 and 9.
I wish it had a high speed stat. It would have been so cool.
I wish it was a sweeper. Number two.
Well, you know what? You get the best move in the game. Trailblaze.
Hell yeah. It got Trailblaze?
Well, Eevee got it, so all the evolutions get it.
Oh,
what? Cool.
Every evolution gets Trailblaze. I love it. Everything gets Trailblaze, and I love it. It's so bad.
That's so cute.
Anyway, number two, Glaceon has an amazing design. Glaceon has a beautifully sleek blue body of ice blue fur that looks stunning with any red or black accessory. I believe that Glaceon has the best design of any of the evolutions, including Sylveon. Yeah, I said it.
Okay, actually, Glaceon isn't like my top evolutions designs. I just think it looks good.
I love this insert of the red or black accessory. I love that just dropped in. Reason number three, because I said so. Because my name is Pure Glaceon, and I am purely Glaceon, I do believe I have the power to decree that Glaceon is the best Pokemon ever made, and the Pokemon Company will never be able to achieve such greatness again. Oh my god. Anyway, with that out of the way, here are my top five and bottom five ice-type Pokemon. Top five, number one, Glaceon. No surprise. Number two, Glaceon. Number three, Glaceon. Number four, Glaceon. And number five, Glaceon.
No, it's Glaceon. That's your silent.
Yeah. Oh, okay, pardon me. It's hard when they're all spelled the same. You have to assume. Bottom five, Satitan, Smoochum, Darmanitan, Galarian form, Ice Q, and Mr. Rhyme.
A lot of those are just straight up. It's just like, I hate all ice types in Gen 8 that aren't Snom. That aren't Snom.
Yeah. I mean, fair enough. Anyway, they wrap up with, if you want to see more Glaceon love, come check me out at Mystery Dungeon, A Path Through Time, where I run a Pokemon Mystery Dungeon D&D campaign. Pure Glaceon out.
All right. Thank you for that, Pure Glaceon. We appreciate that email.
I hope that me mispronouncing its name in that top five annoyed you.
Our next email this week is going to be from Timmy C. Heyo, Puckle Crew, longtime listener, first time writer. Ice types are one of my three favorites. The other being Ghost and Dark. Yes, I am very edgy. Here we go. On my bottom five first. Jinx, I never liked it. Very ugly. Vanellix line, I'd rather eat them than use them. I feel like they're still sentient beings underneath the snow, aren't they? Like,
yeah. I have a soft spot for Vanellix.
Yeah.
It's not ice cream under the snow. It's just like a block of ice or something, right? Like, I don't know. Okay. Yeah, I digress. Avalug. It's just an iceberg and all being an interesting idea for a Pokemon. Its bulkiness turns me away. Yeah, it's fine. Number four, Cryogonal. I'm just going to say it. I don't like Gen 5 ice types in general. This one is being the most boring. Number five, Cubshoe.
Fair.
That nose drip is revolting.
Yes. Stand. We stand.
That's fine. That's fair.
I'm willing to accept the Vanillux with that Cryogonal line. With some, like, just not liking the Gen 5 one. That's fair. Like, Gen 5 was a mistake.
Gen 5 tried to do a lot. There's bound to be misses. All right, so our top five from Timmy C. Weavile, this is going to be a long explanation, but bear with me. I have bias with this one. I saw Weavile among the list of Gen 4 evolutions for old Pokemon and immediately wanted one. To be fair, it was really cool, and it was one of the Pokemon that I think needed the evolution. A lot of them that got it did not actually need it, but that's fine. I played Diamond, caught a Sneasel, and evolved it as soon as I found a Razorclaw. That Weavile followed me all the way to Pokemon Scarlet. He is one of the one Pokemon I have held on to the longest. I've trained to be the perfect killing machine. While he may not be good in competitive, I'll admit he's a staple in my team. He is the alpha and leads the pack. Sorry, Chien Pao. Weavile was here first. Oh, I actually like that line a lot. Actually, he could be good in competitive now because you can reset EVs and everything, and you can change his nature and everything. And you could bottle cap him and make all of his IVs perfect. Like, it's actually...
It does not take a lot to make it incredibly good.
You can make any Pokemon competitive. I just want to, like, if...
And I think it's confirmed that we're getting Triple Axel back in this DLC, so, ooh, boy.
Also, doesn't it get Fake Out?
Used to, at least.
Might not anymore, but Fake Out, if you get Fake Out, that's something that VGC can use, too, as a fat, like, just Fake Out to stop a mod from acting. It's, like, not bad. Like, it's better in, like, singles, technically, but, like, you could definitely make it work in, like, anything.
Number two, Frostlass. Very pretty ice princess that'll freeze you and use you for a decoration. Number three, Aurorus, best fossil Pokemon, in my opinion. Good shiny as well. Number four, Articuno, best legendary birds, best of the legendary birds and is the standard for ice types. Actually, it does look, I don't know, like, I feel like the original three legendary birds are just very iconic in their own ways.
I like Articuno a lot. I just wish its typing was, like, it's a really cool, like, stat line and, like moves and types. It's just, ice flying is so bad. It's so bad. Other than that, like, it's a cool, like, it's like, oh, it'd be really cool, like, a special wall. It just can't, because it dies to rock throw.
Number five, number five is Glaceon. My favorite evolution. She's so pretty and elegant. Keep on doing what you're doing, Puckle. Sincerely, Timmy C. All right, well, thank you for that. Our last one is going to be from Car Eternal, and I believe you've got this one, Shamu.
I do. I used to finally write back into you, Puckle. Car here. And I have to be honest, Aurora's earning a top spot so quickly made me question if we were getting another top flying type episode because such a mid-mon. But the co-host crew won me back with the rest of their list. Holy.
I was iffy on that one too, if I'm being honest, but Claude was so dead set in it that I was going to not stand in that man's way. So just, yup, you got this, buddy.
Claude does get scary during those episodes.
I will say Refrigerate's really cool. Refrigerate is cool, but, like, that's all I can say about it. But Ice-type is such a... Ice-type is just in such a weird place, especially recently. The run of slow defensive Ice-types that just get O-code anyways because of how bad Ice is as a defensive type, the creation of Frostbite and PLA as a special equivalent of Burn, and then the abandonment of it, Snow replacing Hail. It seems that clear that Ice-type needs something to be a type that can actually justify having Mono-type mons. I just don't know how I feel about Snow getting rid of the damage and replacing it with a defensive buff. I think the buff was needed, but would it be too OP if it dealt damage too? Well, to be honest, the biggest buff to ice types was getting a non-ice type that sets Hail and then pivots.
Yeah, Slowking is ungodly.
That was, yeah, Chilly Reception is like the biggest buff to Snow that it got. The fact that
that's part of the reason Baxcalibur's gone is because it would just Chilly Reception into that and you couldn't kill the thing.
Yeah, it's like... But, okay, regardless, here's my list from the episode. Top 5, Spheal, no explanation, but fair. Vanillux, I know it gets ragged on a lot, but I love the idea of it being based on mascots from old commercials and the like. Frostlass, the true evolution of the cute little snow run. It's just such a cool concept and feels like it fits better than Glalie. I agree. Like, Glalie is just, we took a little, like, icicle thing and made it into a ball.
I don't know what Glalie is.
Yeah, like, it's like the snow run took the little tent off, and then it was, like, just a Glalie that...
A horrible man underneath it.
The legs of Snowrunt are just the horns. I don't know. Like, flipped. I don't know. Mammoth Wine. Great evolution to end off a line. Really wish they were available earlier in Johto, though. Yeah, it's like, Johto had a lot of weird things where, like, you can get this specific mon only in this place. Like, Meryl was, like, a one cave encounter at, like, 5% or something like that, or one. Like, Dunsparce in Dark Cave.
Meryl, you can catch in a couple places, but it was rare. It was very rare.
Yeah. And Kyurem. Normally don't include legendaries on my list because I have some weird bias against them as if they're not real Pokemon or something, but the inclusion of Articuno over Kyurem is despicable. Kyurem has such sweet lore surrounding it being the husk of the original dragon.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Still hoping for Legends, Pokemon Legends Kyurem.
That's what I said!
I think Kyurem, I love Kyurem just because it's an abomination.
Yeah!
I love it. It's so like asymmetrical and just, it's like, if you were to think monster, the first Pokemon I would kind of go to my head.
It's hatred incarnate. I tried, Carr. You heard me. But didn't go through, but I tried.
And bottom five, Noice Ice Q. Wait, I don't know. No ice, right. There's no capital there, so I'm thinking Noice. I'm like.
Noice. No ice.
No ice.
Noice.
It is written as Noice, though.
I mean, that's kind of its form name, though.
Noise.
Noise. Noise.
Oh. It goes from an incredibly cute Pokemon to a face that just disturbs me. I don't like that single hair.
Yeah.
Crabominable. Ew. Jinx. Self-explanatory. Dewgong. It's just so forgettable. It really needs something.
Oh, yeah.
And then Cryogonal. When people talk about Gen 5 being overdesigned, this is the one of the Pokemon I think about. email is most likely incredibly too long and winded, as I am one to do so, so I'll sign it off here. I hope you had a great time ripping apart my choice of Pokemon. Car Eternal. I'm actually more okay with the top 5. I like Vanilluxe and Kyurem. Yeah.
Actually, I have no problems with this.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not a giant fan of, like, Feel Frostlass Mammothwine, but I understand. Like, I understand, you know? I'm like, I'm not gonna, like, I don't think they're bottom five.
I'm not mad by most of these. Like, even the list that you guys made last week was fine. Like, it wasn't a problem. So, anyway, I mean, Aurorus is an odd choice, but everything else is real, so that's fine.
Honestly, Refrigerate plus having Snow Warning is nice. It's like, that is a neat, like, combination.
It just looks cool. It's a pretty one. I didn't care much enough about it.
It won't get on any other list. So it let it be on this one. All right. So that is, those are going to be our emails today. If you want to email us next week, let us know how the DLC is going for you at PucklePodcast@gmail.com. Of course, Green Taurus badge. Is there anybody that we think did really well this week? Anybody that you thought was number one in your heart? Part of me wants Pure Glaceon to get it.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
Because I've never seen somebody have such an original take on responding to the episode where they just sent us Glaceon five times.
I enjoyed it. It would have been funny if it was like fourth place with like Snow Runt.
It gives me a big reminder of something that happened in the Smogon OU thread recently, where there was so much talk about how Glaceon could be meta when it very much is not in OU, that it was blacklisted from the discussion boards.
That's hilarious. All right. Well, you know what? Pure Glaceon, you get the Green Taurus badge. All you have to do is ask us on the Discord server at PuckleDiscord.com.
It's already done.
Oh, well. If you want to go ahead and email us next week, like I said, go ahead and do so. You can keep up with us throughout the week by going to PuckleDiscord.com and hanging out with us on the Discord while we wait for the DLC. You can also come and check us out on all of our socials at Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Additionally, you can follow us over on Twitch at twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast and YouTube at youtube.com/pucklepodcast. Both those times will be just fun. We'll have a great, good old time. Additionally, you can go ahead and help support the show. One way to do so is you can go to trollandtoad.com and use code PucklePod5 at checkout to buy yourself some shiny cardboard, just like Seth and I do on more the regular basis. And you get 5% off. We get a little bit of a kickback and we really appreciate it. Of course, you can always go to Patreon at patreon.com/bucklepodcast where you get a host of extra shows. I think we're going to get a lot of extra content because November happened and I ended up getting really sick at the end of it. We're going to end up giving you a bunch of extra content this month. So definitely check that out. If you're interested, we're going to have a little teaser for one of them at the end of this episode and we'll have more on the way as well. Other than that, though, guys, if you want anything else or want to see us next week, just tune in. We really appreciate you guys for listening, and we hope to see you next time. I have been Trainer Thatch.
I've been Shamu.
And I've been Seth Vilo.
And here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.